Congressman Peter Welch, a Democrat of Vermont, not a Democrat, the Democrat in the House of Representatives, because he's the only one. He's the only congressman in office since 2007. And hey, I understand that you recently met with Donald Trump.
That's true. 14 of us were invited over. I think it was seven Democrats and seven Republicans, or close to that. And I have no idea how I was on the list, but the opportunity to meet and talk about specifically health care and trying to fix the individual market, but also to talk about tax reform and a topic that was very near and dear to many of us was relief for the Dreamers. So we had a solid meeting where the president was there as chief of staff, Gary Cohen is chief economic advisor, and Mick Mulvaney, a former House colleague of mine, who's now, of course, the budget director. So, you know, it's a strange experience in some ways because you can have a very direct conversation. For instance, on the Dreamers, the president expressed to us what he said in public, and that is he's a friend of the Dreamers and he gets it, that somebody who came here brought by his parents and has no knowledge of this country from which he came, has lived all of his life here, served in the military, that after that person is discharged honorably from the military for service in Iraq or Afghanistan, that you're suddenly going to pick that person up and bring him or her back to this country they don't know anything about. So he speaks about it in language that all of us understand and most Americans, I think, support. Don't blame the children for what their parents did when they crossed illegally. But then what happens? The follow-up. It's not there. And we're seeing that the whole Dreamer debate is being used as a hostage, in effect, to try to leverage really radical positions on the wall or drones everywhere or guard towers every 10 feet. I mean, there's a group around here on border security issues. By the way, that's a legitimate issue, and all of us know that. But there's nothing they'll accept will get us to yes. So it was a good discussion with the president, but where's the follow-through is the question we're asking.
This is an existential question. You see the guy on television. I am sure you don't share with me the idea that when I see his face, I am literally become vomitatious. And then you find yourself actually sitting across from the man who you see yelling that the football players are SOBs and this and that. And does it change your perspective to be in the flesh with a guy?
It doesn't. See, here's, I think, what's roiling all of us, including people in both parties. Whatever your position, let's say it's on you want a tax reform package. We know we need one. Or we need to fix and improve our health care system in this country. Or we've got to take action to provide some legal status for the Dreamers who served this country. The problem with the president is that he's the person that has the gravitational pull. That office has the gravitational pull to bring different voices together to solve common problems. And what happens with the president is you're in a meeting with him, and as I was to talk about drug prices or in this last one about the Dreamers and even fixing the Affordable Care Act. And it's a good conversation in that moment. You walk out the door and there's a tweet about the National Football League. So there's no constancy of direction from the president. And what I'm finding is that both Republicans and Democrats find that baffling. And, you know, as a member of Congress, you get invited to see the president. That's your job. So you show up. And the goal I have when I'm there is to do everything I can to influence the debate. We could get to a resolution on the Dreamers. We could fix the individual market in the healthcare system that's broken in the Affordable Care Act. And we had Republicans and Democrats who came together to do that. The first time there's been a bipartisan effort to improve a problem that we both acknowledge exists in the Affordable Care Act. So, you know, if I get invited, I go because it's my job and I'm doing all I can to influence the debate. And the fact that there were Democrats and Republicans there, I thought was a good opportunity because most of us wanted to help the dreamers. We wanted to fix the individual market. And my hope, it remains to be seen whether this will work out, is that if the president saw there was bipartisan support on a number of these things, it would give him there would be some influence on him to be more aggressive in trying to focus on these solutions.
Of course, the guy behind the curtain is Speaker Ryan. He holds, you know, most of the power, what's coming to the floor, what's going to happen. Can you give us an inside baseball report on what you think is going on in that guy's mind?
Well, here's the dilemma he faces. He has to decide whether he wants to be Speaker of the whole House. That is, not just the Republicans, but also the Democrats, because all of us have been elected by Americans from our districts. Or does he just want to be the Speaker for the Republicans, where his approach has been to not put anything on the floor for consideration unless he can get all the votes he needs to pass it, 218 votes from the Republican conference. And the problem, and that's the direction he's taken. He's chosen that approach. And that is that he's essentially handcuffed himself, because what that means is that whether it's on the Dreamers or it's on doing sensible things on health care, he has to get approval from the hard right Freedom Caucus in the Republican conference. They get the last say. And his other alternative would be to negotiate with some Democrats, like the president did when he decided to avoid default and avoid the shutdown that the Freedom Caucus was demanding. But Speaker Ryan, I think, has locked himself in handcuffs by deferring essentially to the Freedom Caucus that has the final say. And they demand that the legislation that comes out on almost any topic be very hard right, without any Democratic input. And it's just the recipe for continued gridlock and failure.
Let's spend a few minutes on the health care debacle. Peter Welch, it would appear to most of us that those people who are tied into repealing and replacing Obamacare have lost. But apparently, like a two-year-old who's been sent to his room till he stops screaming, they can't get beyond their need to have this thing passed so they can have the money for their tax proposals. What am I missing here?
Well, I think you're right. They passed that. They're going to have money for big tax cuts for the wealthy. That's one sort of hidden agenda that you, I think, quite rightly pointed out. But there's a second issue, and I think it's best summed up by Senator Grassley from Iowa, who's for the repeal. And he was asked by a reporter, why are you doing it? He said, well, I could give you 10 reasons why we should not do this, why it's really bad policy. But we've been promising that we'd repeal it for 7 years, yeah, and we've got to do it. So essentially, it's the politics of this where for 7 years, the attack on Obama and the Democrats was about the Affordable Care Act. And the answer that they promoted to folks was that if they repealed it, all would be well with the world. Well, of course, they were busted, because when they got the power, White House, House and Senate, they had no replacement bill. None, literally none. And the only approach they have for repeal is basically to kick 24 million people who have health care off of health care. And that is going to wreak havoc in the country and for our community hospitals, for our doctors. And people are opposed to it. But they've made this political promise to do a dumb thing, and they're determined to keep the promise to do something very, very stupid.
Thank you, Peter Welch, the only congressman from all of the great state of Vermont. We love having you on. When we come back, let's pick it up where we left off.
Okay.